Don't sit down yet. Remember that I'll be standing here for another 40 minutes, maybe. So, usually when I want people to clap very well for Jesus Christ, I remind them of how they clap for the Green Eagles when they score a goal. Now we're talking about Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Another big clap offering unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Be seated now. I bless the name of the Lord for the grace, the special privilege to stand before you today and share with you, children of the Most High God. This is the body of Christ, and there is no greater body on earth or in heaven. Say amen.
Amen.
And say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The body of Christ is the most powerful body on earth or in heaven. Give Jesus a clap offering. Amen.
Amen.
And if anybody has the privilege to be part of this body, he's got all things. Hallelujah. Sometimes we look at our country, we look at the world as a whole. And let me tell you something. This world is not going to get much better until Jesus comes. Believe me, that's the truth. Study the scriptures. Look at the events that are now taking place all over the world. And I can assure you, things would get better for you, but the world itself will not get much better. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
See, the Lord speaks to us in so many different ways. Sometimes I talk to people and they will say, I hate to read the book of Revelation. It scares me. No, not me, them. I hope you follow my point. No, it doesn't scare me. I read it. In fact, I have studied it. I will study it again and again because I'm so interested in the things that are there. Those things were revealed to John, not for the world of unbelievers, but for the body. Hallelujah. See, those things were revealed to us. They contain a lot of woes and blessings. Praise the Lord. The woes are not for us, but the blessings are. Give Jesus a clap offering. Amen. But why would God want to reveal these things to you? So that you are going to know that these things are coming. Jesus would say, he that hath ears, let him hear. He would say, I have told you. Is that not right? So that when the things begin to happen, you remember the Lord has told us. And before they begin to happen, you anticipate them, knowing that the Lord has already spoken. Hallelujah. A lot of times the Lord has revealed things to me. Let me tell you now, children of God. See, the prophets kept records. Are you following me? That is why we now read the books of the prophets. If they had kept everything here, then we wouldn't have these books to read today. So keep your own diary. God talks to his children. Hallelujah. The Lord has revealed so many things to me about Nigeria, about events in the world, about individuals, about myself. But some time ago, about 4 years ago, just before Abacha came to power, the Lord just laid it to my heart to share certain revelations with my chapter of Full Gospel. Instead of the normal Bible study, which I was teaching, we spent that evening to look at things that were to come. Hallelujah. Some of us have been carried away with what looked like prophecies. Let me assure you, the devil claims to prophesy. Are you following me? But when somebody who does not prophesy by the Spirit of God prophesies into the future, check out the accuracy. It is never good. Hallelujah. God says, I am the one who declares the things that are to come. He said, bring any others. Let them declare them. Let us see. He says, I am the one. Hallelujah. But see, even Christians get carried away. When people with familiar spirits see you and they say, I saw that you had a sister who died in an accident. And it is true. Now, let me tell you something. The events have already happened. And when such things happen, even demons know that they are happening. Are you following my point? That is why you talk of familiar spirits. They are familiar with events. I hope you follow my point. And they pass information around. So if you are not properly grounded in the Word of God, somebody is going to speak to you by familiar spirit. I see that you lost 2 pregnancies in the past 3 years. But it is true. Hallelujah. But see, the events have already occurred. I see that you are planning to go to America. It is true. But you said it to somebody. Give Jesus a clap offering. God said, I declared these things before they have happened. So you are my witnesses. Hallelujah. So that day the Lord laid it to my heart to share these things with them. And the Lord is so good because the time of sharing was just perfect. Events were going to begin to happen just 2 weeks after that. So I got there that evening and I said, today we're going to do something that's a little different. I want to share with you some of the things that the Lord has shown to me concerning Nigeria, and I want us as children of God to keep these things in mind and pray. The reason that we're sharing this today is that we still have to pray. Everybody say, we have to pray. We have to pray. And see, you pray much better when you have facts. You follow me? Hallelujah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 28. I'm going to read from verse 1 through verse 9. And it came to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 4th year, and in the 5th month, that Hananiah, the son of Bezer, the prophet, which was at Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, said the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests, and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears, and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Hallelujah. The prophet Jeremiah was saying to Hananiah, you have prophesied peace to a people who are evil. I hope you follow my point. He is not saying that a prophet must never prophesy peace, but he is saying that there are prophets because there is unrighteousness. Hallelujah. See, the word of God says, it comes in time, whether there be prophecies, they shall cease. Hallelujah. You see, when you stand in perfect righteousness, you don't need prophets. Nobody will say, thus saith the Lord, because when God speaks, you hear him too. Give Jesus a clap for it. Hallelujah. Jeremiah was saying to him, look, these people are evil, and you have prophesied peace. Let us wait and see it happen. Amen. So the prophets who came before you and before me prophesied against kingdoms, against nations, of evil, of pestilence. You have prophesied peace. Let it happen. Go and read the whole chapter. You're going to see. When you get home, you read the whole chapter. And he made it clear. They're going to spend 70 years in captivity. And if you remember, they spent how many years? 70. You say 2 years. I say 70. And that year, because of the false prophecy, the word of God said, the prophet Hananiah died. When you get back home, go and read it. Hallelujah. So you, the children of God, if somebody stands here and prophesies evil to you, then you are going to know that your father did not send him. Is that not right? Hallelujah. See, to you, the word of God says, every thought of mine is of peace, never evil. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap offering. Amen. The word of the same God also says, there is no peace for the wicked. See how different you are? Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. And so, we look at our country, Nigeria. There is no denying there's a lot of evil in this country. I can add, there's a lot of evil in this country. You do not deny the obvious. Praise the Lord. I used to know a lady. We were in the same university in the United States. She studied aviation. She became like a little sister to me. She was very close to one distant relative who was also there. They used to visit me together. So she became like a little sister to me. And I used to drive her to the airport, drop her at the airport and come back to the university because the airport was far away. And it was expensive to take a taxi. But once you are there, it's not expensive to come back with a taxi because they have to come back home. Hallelujah. So I would drop her there and return. Then she would return by taxi. Sometime 1983 or 84, I don't remember now. I was watching the television and there she was. Nigeria's first female pilot. And I called my wife. I said, oh, come and look at Rose. And her name was Rose. At the time they were featuring her, she was Aminat Yaradua, something like that. I called my wife. I said, oh, look at Rose. She's on television. And then just about a few weeks ago, we were talking in Cape Coast, Ghana, and Dr. Awoleye, who was spending some time with me, oh no, Dr. Ahobe, who was spending some time with me there, just said, oh, Nigeria's first female pilot, they killed her. I said, who? I said, Rosalind Hubbard was her maiden name. I said, what happened? And he said, he saw it on Frank Olise's program, that they killed her and cut her in pieces and packed her in plastic bags and put her in the soakaway. You stand and you prophesy peace to such people. Jeremiah said, it is not from God. Hallelujah. Nigeria is gravid with sin. But thank God for the righteous few. Because of us, the Lord is going to do something new in this country. Amen. Let me go on. I know that I got a hint about the amount of time that we're going to spend. If we overshoot it a little, I think it's worth it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I shared some revelations with them. And when I returned from Ghana, a lot of things had happened. And I had left that chapter. So the Bible Studies Committee approached me and said, you share some things with us. A lot of things have happened since then. Why don't you come back? Let us do a review of those revelations and see where we are. Hallelujah. And so what we're going to do today is do a review of those revelations and see where we are. And you know how to continue in your prayers. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the first one that I shared with them had to do with two animals that were fighting. They were struggling for power. The lordship of this animal to me is standing on two legs and exchanging blows. And one of them gave the other a very heavy punch. And as that animal was falling, I saw a baby appear on its back. And the animal that punched it down just reached with the left hand, took the baby, and punched it out, and helplessly. And then this animal that seemingly got the victory stood with both hands on the sides of akimbo and nodded, like to say, "I am great," that kind of thing. And then I saw a horn begin to grow on its head, big, high up into the air, and it tapered and ended like a normal horn. Then I started to move. Then I saw a fence, and one animal in it, another fence, and one animal in it, another fence, and one animal in it. Then I opened my eyes. Hallelujah. So I told them, the two animals that were fighting were struggling for power. The whole thing had to do with Nigeria. The animal that was knocked out had become apparent at that time. It was Babangida. At the time that I was sharing this, we had interim national government. Okay, but the revelations had come before that. That was Babangida, and I told them, the animal that knocked him out, I don't know. Praise the Lord. If the Lord did not tell you, you don't know. I said, it is easy to assume that it will be Abiola, but just wait. Hallelujah. Whoever knocks out the baby on the back of the animal, the interim national government was the baby. Praise the Lord. So the baby on the back of the animal is interim national government, and indeed that government was Babangida's baby. I hope you follow my point. So whoever knocks out interim national government would be the one at the root of Babangida's fall. And apparently, you see, the army did not cooperate with Babangida in the end. They told him he had to go. Abacha wanted power also. We had all of these rumors. Later on, we had. Hallelujah. So, we would wait and see who knocks out interim national government. Then that is the second animal. And interim national government would then die as a baby. It would never see maturity. It would die helplessly and as a baby. That was to happen 2 weeks after that. Hallelujah. And then I told them, when we see the one who knocks out interim national government, that man will be a one-man government, a bad dictator. And I said in these words, he is going to do things that you will not believe. Reason, if you read the book of Daniel, the horn indicates power. If you see two horns, it means two people are going to share power. Hallelujah. The Medo-Persians he saw as two horns, but one was longer, one outgrew the other. If you look at history, then you see how it starts out. When you want to understand your dreams, look in the Bible. Hallelujah. Use the Bible to sort out whatever you can, then other things will fall in place. So he will be a dictator and a bad one, and he will do things that you will not believe. Well, that one is behind us now. Hallelujah. Then somebody said, what about the fences and the animals? And I said, at the end of that dictator, and I don't know the distance between them. When you see two revelations, one after another, it does not mean that nothing comes between them. I hope you follow my point. I do not know the distance, but after that dictator, Nigeria will no longer be what it is now in terms of structure. There will be some partitioning. There will be some dividing. I hope you follow my point. Yes. And if you ask most of us today, we want it. You ask me, I want it. Give Jesus a clap offering. Amen. But well, that dictator has come and he is God. There are some other things we're going to share about him, but let's just go on. Now talking about partitioning, let me share this with you. Many years ago, about maybe 1989, 88 or so, I don't remember. I have them in my diary. I have this. The Lord shared this to me. I was in a garden, beautiful garden, green vegetables. I just loved the place. I just walked in the garden and I went to one of the vegetables. It looked like a wedu. Tall. And I just plucked one of the leaves and laid it on my tongue. In admiration. But then I saw somebody in the garden whether harvesting, whatever he was doing. He was a Hausa man. Now let me make this very clear to you. I don't hate Hausas. I love them. Praise the Lord. I'm just sharing with you what God showed to me. It has nothing to do with how I feel. Hallelujah. And let me also say this. When a prophet prophesies, if it is evil, he is not necessarily happy about it. You follow my point? That is why you have one book after Jeremiah. What is the book called? What is it called in Yoruba? Jeremiah had prophesied. If it came to pass, but the prophet wept. I hope you follow my point. See, don't think that he loves it. No, thank God, it is proven that your God is God. But the events do not necessarily make you happy. Hallelujah. So, I saw this man in the garden, and I knew that he ought not to be there. So, I looked behind me, there was another man, tall, what you would call an angel, tall, with attendants around him. And I went to him, I said, sir, I said, what is he doing in my garden? He shouldn't be here. But he got some people. Went in. At that time, I know that it will come a time in the future when Nigeria will no longer exist as one entity, but three separate entities will come out of her. It is becoming more real now. Hallelujah. Let me also add this one. Shortly before I left Ghana, after Abacha had died, I saw myself in a very big vehicle. I was sitting facing one side. Another group of this was another thing. So I looked to my right, and I saw that the other division was so big, and I kept saying, this vehicle is too big, this one will have an accident, the road is too narrow for a vehicle like this. Hallelujah. Again, the Lord showed to me three partitions, I hope you follow my point, which now contain a little more detail. When this country would be divided up, it will probably look more like what we had when we had the regional boundaries, north, east, and west, with what was in the north much bigger than the west or the east. Hallelujah. But let us look at some other political events that, well, now some have happened, some are yet to happen. Let's take this one concerning Abiola, for example. Abiola, at that time, I told them of this revelation. I saw a hand, a white hand, just from the wrist to the fingers, lying on the floor, pure white. Somebody was standing by me. I didn't know who it was. And as we were looking at that hand, the hand became active. It started to move. And the other person said to me, hey, look at that hand. It is active. And I said, yes. I said, but you are going to see fire now. So I started to pray, and then fire came in. Again, this kind of fire, I don't believe it's on earth. Terrible. The fire came in, just swirled into the place, and I knew inside the fire was Abiola, and I had a cry of agony. A female member of his family cried with terrible agony, and that woke me up. And my heart was palpitating heavily. I was afraid. And look, I tell people, I had never prayed for Abiola all my life. And most of you, even up to today, you have never prayed for him. I hope you follow my point. I had never prayed for him. That night, I got up, I knelt down, I said, Lord, please, even if this man is going to die, let him see salvation before he dies. I don't know a better prayer to say for anybody. So please let him see salvation before he dies. I hope that he saw salvation. People said he was studying the Bible when he was in prison. I hope that he accepted Christ. So I told them, for Abiola and for a female member of his family, death was waiting. For a female member especially, the cry of agony, very agonizing death. I hope you follow my point. And that day we stood up and we prayed for them. But some things will hardly change. When Kudirat was shot dead in Lagos, those who had the revelation remembered. I hope you follow my point. Praise the Lord. Now, the white hand, we'll come to the white hand later on. Let's just go on first. Hallelujah. Let me touch on the spiritual state of Nigeria in the future. One night, again, the Lord showed it to me. And please, my brothers and sisters, ask the Lord. Ask and I will show you great and mighty things that you would never have known. Hallelujah. It's the word of God. I talk to him regularly, ask him. He's not talking to me because my name is Emmanuel Okala. I hope you follow my point. Hallelujah. I was standing and I saw a caravan of Hausa Fulanis going from south to north. All of them. On horseback, on mules, in their beautiful cars, carts, all types of things that people would travel with. They were going northwards. And I stood there and watched them and they were going. Then one car stopped in front of me. And a man came to me and said, please, Jumi is thirsty. Give me some oranges for her. She must drink something. There was a garden behind me, an orchard. There were oranges in it, but the oranges were not ripe. They looked like the green oranges that you see by the roadside. People are selling them, and you can't understand why somebody would pluck them anyway. And I said, the oranges are not mature. I said, they're not good. And the man said, but she must drink something. She's thirsty. So I turned and told the man in the orchard, I said, pluck three oranges for me. I want to give them to him for Jumi. So I got the oranges and gave to him. Now, I did not see this Jumi female, but I knew in the spirit that she was a queen among them. Hallelujah. I left that scene and saw myself at the balcony of a house. Then looking down, there was a fire. A big fire. There were horses lying down around the fire. Then another horse came in and it started to gallop round the other horses, and then suddenly, as if it was struck with an ailment, you could see it feel weak, tired, hardly able to carry the limbs. Then it fell and died. Then from where I was standing, I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Then I saw myself going, walking away. Now the Hausa Fulanis that I saw the other time were now camping and cooking, doing all sorts of things. And as I was going, a female started to come towards me. Long hair, looking beautiful, very long hair, not too tall. She walked towards me, then another female left her job and ran towards her and called her, Jumi, Jumi, no, no. It's like, don't go near him. So there they showed me Jumi's face. Praise the Lord. And that was over. Now the next day I went to the Full Gospel Miracle Center. And I was sharing it with Dr. Ajolore and Mr. Oki, who were also there. And we counted Nigeria's heads of state since independence. And there will be 9 of them minus Shoneka. The 9th would be Abacha. Hallelujah. Why do you take Shoneka out? It's interesting. The Spirit said to me, but if the Lord revealed Shoneka's government as a baby helpless, I hope you follow my point, carried on someone else's back, where does it take its own position? Praise the Lord. It's beautiful. Clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. So I knew that eventually Abacha would probably just drop dead. Praise the Lord. Mr. Famulego from the university, wherever he met me, he would greet me and he would say, where are we now? Anywhere. He would say, where are we now? And we will talk for a few minutes and then we will go. Shortly before Abacha died, it must have been about a week, I don't even remember now, I came home from Ghana and I was to go back. And I went to his house to deliver a message. Then he was seeing me off with his wife. We got to the door. Then he said, where are we now? And I said, well, you have the array of revelations. And it's good to always place yourself somewhere at a point in time. He said, will Abiola still die? I said, I had no revelation to the contrary. I said, if you love him, continue to pray for him. He said, what about the white hand? I said, the white hand? I said, that would be the United States, the United Nations, or Great Britain, or all of that. That's the white hand. Hallelujah. I said it would come a time when they are going to put pressure on this government to release Abiola. That is probably the time that he will die. I said, before he died, do you remember what happened? Kofi Annan came, European Union sent their representative, and America was sitting there when he took ill and died. So that was the White Hand. Now, whatever the autopsies say, I said to people, if I go strictly by revelation, I believe that there was something else behind the curtain. The White Hand played a role, whatever role. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Now, let me share this with us. And this one will place us somewhere. We are all going to know where we are and where we're going to. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good.
Amen.
One day now I saw myself in a vehicle. We were traveling. Many of us in the vehicle. So the vehicle is Nigeria. The passengers are you and I and other people. The driver is head of state. Hallelujah. This driver was terrible. Some of you have traveled on bad roads driven by a bad driver in the past, and you know the way that you shouted at him. Hallelujah. Everybody was shouting, hey, what is going on? What is he doing? And suddenly he disappeared from the seat. Somebody else was sitting. And this man was cool-headed. The new driver, cool-headed, was just going on. Ah, and everybody said, thank God. This one is cool-headed. This one knows what he is doing. And then we went on. We just went on. Then this nice, cool driver suddenly started to look to the left and to the right. Like that. Then everybody started to look at him. What is wrong with this one also? Doesn't he know where he's going? What's the problem? Then we went on and we went on. Then we started to enter one town. And you know what happens if you're traveling and you begin to enter a town that you did not know? You want to know the name of the town. What do? You look for signboards. Is that not right? So we started to look at the signboards. We read every signboard. Not one of them carried the name of the town. And we knew that we ought not to see this town on our journey. We knew that something was wrong. Hallelujah. So we drove into the heart of the town and then we stopped. Then a few of us got down. Then I walked into a cafeteria. There was one white man in the cafeteria with other black people. But I went to the white man and I said, sir, I said, what is the name of this town? Where are we? And the man said, this town. I said, yes. He said, Idikudi. I said, Idikudi. He said, yes. I said, but that is my language. I said, that is my language. Idikudi means something wrongly tied. He said, yeah, that's it. Something wrongly tied. That's the meaning. I said, we're in trouble. I said, I must call Minneapolis in the U.S. That's where my people are. I said, I must call Minneapolis. They must get us out of here. So I went to a public telephone, and I started to dial. Then I opened my eyes. Hallelujah. So where are we now? Give Jesus a clap offering anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. The rough driver has suddenly disappeared. The cool-headed one is now driving. But it looks like this is the road to Idikudi. Give Jesus a clap offering anyway. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. So the Spirit was saying to me that Idikudi is that point along Nigeria's journey where we take a stop and we look at things and we come to admit that we were wrongly amalgamated in the first place. Give Jesus a clap of prayer. Amen. A wise man telling me the meaning would imply that even our colonial masters will admit that they tied us together wrongly in the beginning. Give Jesus another clap. Hallelujah. Let's just look at maybe two more and then we'll pray. Shortly before I left Ghana, Abacha had died. When I suddenly saw myself somewhere, I knew there was something like a military coup. There was tension in the air, and I saw this man standing so disturbed. He was so disturbed. And he shouted, "Alert those who are in the bunker." Then I saw myself in the bunker. Praise the Lord. And I stood in the bunker, and I saw those who were there. They started to put on bulletproof suits, jackets. They covered their heads. They covered everything. They were preparing. But I knew that with all of the preparations, it didn't look like they would be able to contain the situation. Hallelujah. The Lord is in control. You see, whatever happens in your life, whatever you achieve in your life, fear God. Fear God. I tell people, you can get so big that you begin to feel that God is not as great as he is. Look at Lucifer. Full of beauty. In fact, perfect in beauty. That's what the scripture says. It says, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. He thought he was so great he could take over from God. But the word of God says, whatever you are, I have made you so. See, Abiola was very rich. I told people, look, even among those who steal money, hardly is there one of them that had Abiola's kind of money. He didn't have to steal. He collected royalties from IGT. And he had other companies. And Abiola believed that money would solve any problem. I hope you follow me. He was confident. He knew people. And he had money. Look, God said to the children of Israel, when you get to that land of promise, which flows with milk and honey, and you live in houses which you did not build, and you harvest the fields which you did not plant or where you did not sow, remember the Lord your God who took you out of the land of bondage. When people are well fed, they forget God. When God orders your life, what can you do with yourself? God said, go and win the elections, but you will not be president. Who can query God? Nobody. Children of God, even among us, it does happen. You begin to get richer and richer. People are praying for you. Then God begins to provide for you. Then fellowship time, business begins to eat into fellowship time. We did not see you, it's my business. It's my business. Eh? Fear God. Fear God. Hallelujah. Dr. Awolaye was with me at Cape Coast for some time, one of my friends in the university. And we were sitting in the room. Then I said, let me just look at my diary, because sometimes it's good, you just flip through your diary. So I started to flip through the diary, and whatever would be of interest to him in terms of revelation, I would read it to him. 1990, my late friend, my very good friend, late friend, some of you knew him, it was there. The Lord revealed to me that he was involved in some investigations and some people attacked him physically, assaulted him physically. And I went to him, I told him. And I prayed with him. And he was scared. He called Professor Akinyemi, who is now away from Nigeria, and told him. Then he came to me, Akinyemi came to me, and together we tried to get Ajayi Dogbemu to come to Christ. He would not. We would invite him to full gospel outreaches, but Saturday morning we are having the outreach, Saturday morning he's having safari. I hope you follow my point. So they both just coincided, so he never came. He would promise, but he would not come. See how he ended up. 1990. Hallelujah. So, you look at him, you look at yourself. If you knew Ajayi Dogbemu, we grew up together. We have been friends from the time of youth. We were friends. Handsome, smart, if you knew him, You follow my point? He's got so much charisma, but all within his own kind of righteousness. Not in the righteousness of God. Whatever you think that you have, it must have been given to you. Jesus told Pilate, you understand? Say, there is nothing which you have which was not given to you. Who gave it to you can take it from you. Fear God. Respect God. You're beautiful. Beautiful. Adulterous. You have never seen beauty disappear. You have never seen it. I saw a man on television. At the time that I saw him, his wife had divorced him. He was a car racer. Then he had an accident on the racing track, fire. He opened his chest. He said his wife divorced him because what she was seeing by her was not what she bargained for. When fire has completely consumed somebody's flesh, the skin, the ugliness that you see there, may God preserve your beauty for His glory. You look at yourself in the mirror, you think you're beautiful, you are the master fornicator. Be careful. Fear God. Look, the same God who judged certain people will judge us. Hallelujah. And the word of God says, judge yourself before you are judged. Amen. Finally, as I was opening my notes, I saw this one revelation, and I had forgotten about it. And I read this to Dr. Awolayin. I wrote there, the revelations of tonight were so many and complicated. See, some nights you don't sleep. I hope you follow me. The tape begins to play, then you open your eyes, then off, then the tapes begin to play. One such night, so I wrote whatever I could just remember. And I suppose I just put down what God wanted me to remember anyway. And I said, it looked as if it was a coup. I didn't know what it was. But I said, they took the head of state, it was Abacha in power then. They tied him with cords. And I said, but the cords were not long enough. It looked as if he could break loose. Then they carried him to the airport. There was a plane. And I said, it looked as if they wanted to haul him to another country because I saw a plane waiting. You know what you haul? What do you haul? Cargo or luggage. Did you see Abacha when he died and they carried him? And the plane was waiting. You know how the Muslims tie people when they die? I said, no wonder. I told him, I forgot about this one. No wonder. I thought that he could break loose. The man was dead. He couldn't break loose. Hallelujah. The Lord was saying, look, this is how they carry him away. Eh? On the day that I was talking with Mr. Pamela in his house, and he was asking about the white hand and La Viola, so on and so forth, he said, how will Abacha's government end? But I said, well, I don't want to give you a specific word. But if you look at the structure of the horn on the head of the animal, it was a normal one. It starts at the bottom and tapers to the end. It ended normally. I said, that would suggest that Abacha would be the kind of power that would most likely die with power. I hope you follow my point. Yes, it looks as if he is going to die with power. I said, the only prayer now is, Lord, how long? And it was to happen about a week or two after that.
I just bless the name of the Lord. I have to add a few revelations at this point, maybe two or three, which have some bearing in terms of the future of Nigeria also. I remember one night I saw a revelation. I saw after the American embassy, for reasons that were not clear to me in the revelation, were not issuing visas inside the embassy as usual. The set of tables, like on an open area, like an open field. And I saw a queue of applicants like I had never seen before. You can hardly imagine it. But people just queued and waited. And I saw registers opened. And I saw the embassy officials checking in the registers to ascertain that those that were seeking these visas were qualified to be issued with the visas. It looked like I was helping some people to sort out their documents. But the whole thing had the setting of a refugee situation. Like people had to go out of Nigeria hurriedly, and the American embassy was quickly issuing visas in a faster processing to ensure departure as if there was a refugee situation. That was what I saw that night. I pray that we do not come to that level of civil disturbance. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you have to pray. Because when I see these things, I know how important it is to pray about them. There are things that you can change completely. There are things that must come to pass. I pray that we do not come to such a state in this country where Nigerians have to depart en masse as refugees. Also, with respect to departure, let me share with you this revelation. Years ago, the Lord showed to me a lot of civil disorder. Well, let me say also, I have seen many of those over the years, many. And I always prayed. The kinds of things that I have seen in terms of civil disorder, in terms of police and security agents' brutality in this country should never happen. I pray they will not happen at the level that I have seen them in different revelations. But on this particular night, there was civil disorder. Security agents were pursuing people and shooting people dead at point-blank range. I mean, people who could have been arrested were not arrested. The agents just came to them and shot them dead. And I remember, I decided to flee. And as I ran away from this area of disturbance, I remember that I took a leap into the air. And I started to soar away, just like an airplane taking off on a runway. Then up in the air and soaring away, I looked down and I saw myself going over a fence, which would indicate that I was just crossing the border, the geographical border of Nigeria. I was just crossing. I saw the fence below me, like I was jumping over the fence. And then I turned my head backwards. The whole of my body was still soaring away. But I turned my head and I looked backwards at Nigeria, just to look at the place that I was fleeing from. And then I saw a mighty explosion. It was like an atomic bomb had been exploded. And the fallout had risen high into the air. And then I opened my eyes. Now let me say this. In the interpretation of dreams and other imagery, you learn certain things from experience. For example, I have learned in revelations in the past that when God shows an explosion to me in relation to a country, usually, not always, but usually, it would indicate a military coup. For example, during the Oka coup in the era of Babangida, the night the coup was taking place, the Lord was showing it to me. Again, we were in a vehicle which represented Nigeria. The driver was putting on a jumpsuit that had green, white, and green, and the driver is the head of state. and I was there, and my wife was there, other people were there. And then inside that vehicle, there was an explosion. Blam! And then we were walking on our feet. And then I saw this driver, who was in green, white, and green, just disappear. And at second time, he reappeared. And then I saw my wife putting on a panty that had green, white, and green. And then I saw her putting on another panty on top of that one with green, white, and green color. In the morning, we were supposed to be traveling back to a lorry we were in Ibadan. It was Saturday into Sunday, and normally we would travel very early on Sunday morning to arrive in Ilorin for the worship. And I started to ponder over this. Lord, are we going to have an accident on the way? What's going on? And then I prayed, and I did not tell my wife. We had to go. So I did not tell my wife. We just set out on our journey. And we normally would go through Oshobo because the highway is a lot easier to drive on. And arriving in Oshobo, we saw my brother-in-law, who came and announced that there had been a coup. And then I understood the revelation overnight. And I told my wife, if Babangida has been killed, because my brother-in-law said Babangida had been killed, I said, if Babangida had been killed, the one who would replace him would not be different from him. And that from the revelation, because I saw my wife putting on a panty, green, white, and green, on top of the one she had, which was exactly the same type. So it meant that there would not really be a change. Even if the man had died, there would not really be a change. And, well, you know what happened if you were in Nigeria at that time, or if you had the news about that coup, that Babangida eventually re-emerged and replaced himself. Also, at the time that we were having the Gulf War, when the Gulf War was on, I remember the Lord showed to me an explosion in Moscow, in my diary. An explosion in Moscow. And eventually, that was also to be made manifest in terms of the military coup that took place in Russia shortly after the Gulf War. And so, this explosion that I saw, this mighty explosion, would most likely indicate a very bad military coup, if not war. I pray that it is not war, because war might be shown as an explosion also. But based on past experience, I believe, and by the Spirit, that this is most likely a military coup again, and it would be a bad military coup. Let us pray. Let us pray for this country. Let us pray for Nigeria, so that the Lord will put his blanket of protection, spread his shadow over his people. And at the same time, let us remember our neighbors that are not born again, that Jesus loves them. Let us speak salvation to them. Let us bring them to the understanding and acceptance of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a job to do. Not only do we want to escape this evil, we want as many as possible to escape this evil. We want the Lord to restore us to peace and stability in this country. Economic stability, emotional stability. In all that we do, we want Nigeria to be sane. Nigeria has moved in the wrong direction for a long time. We want to say, Jesus, come and take full control. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in Nigeria. Glorify Jesus in our nation. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Finally, well, maybe not finally. I'm not too sure now. Let me share this one. And if I feel like sharing another one, maybe I will. This is one that we must pray about. Every Nigerian must really pray concerning this one. I'm not sure how much of these things we can change, because it looks to me like God simply shows the direction in which things are going to go. But it is always edifying to pray. My brother and sister, the advantage that you have is that you can pray from the mind of God, and there is nothing like that. Now, take this revelation. One night, This was after Abacha had died, and I was still in Cape Coast, Ghana. The Lord showed to me something which will have to do with the future of Nigeria, perhaps the very near future of Nigeria. This is what it looked like. I saw a boxing ring set, and we were sitting at the ringside, many of us, to watch that fight. Then, those who were going to fight were introduced. There was this big champion. Everybody knew that he had to win. There was no way out. The other man, the challenger, was the underdog. By every dimension, he was the underdog. And then the fight started. It looked like a joke. Everybody thought, oh, the champion, oh, he always wins and he will win again. I mean, it's all so decisive. Even before the fight, you knew what it was going to be. And so this fight continued. And this man, who was supposed to be a nobody, just with this champion, he beat him like you had never seen on the ring before. I mean, he beat him so bad. Everybody could not believe it. People thought it was a joke. A joke. The man would get up, and he would continue to fight. But no, it was not to happen. This champion fell. He did not fall on the platform. He fell on the rope. And he was hanging on the rope, half of his body in the ring and half of his body outside the ring. His head just dangling outside the ring. It was like somebody had come and spread a cloth on a line, you know, and it was just like that. And everybody watched this champion. Oh, he would get up. No, but he was not to get up. And then the referee started to count. This was something that I'd never seen before. The referee started to count. In the presence of everybody, he counted. 1, 2, 3, 4. And now the referee could not believe what he was seeing. The referee wanted this man to get up and beat this guy. He couldn't believe that he was counting, and this champion was not getting up. He counted 5. And now the referee decided, no, I have to help. I must do something. So the referee decided that the only thing he could do was to give more time for the champion to take a nice good breath and get up. So he slowed down his count. 6, 7, 8. But the champion was not to get up. The referee did not count to 10. When my eyes just opened. Lord, help us in this country. I believe that this revelation has to do with the transition exercise, these elections that are now going on. And I believe that most likely when we finally have the presidential contest, somebody would have emerged like the person who must win. It will be so apparent to everybody that this man is going to win. But the Lord would most likely then stretch forth his hand and bring somebody who could have been a nobody to win that election. And of course, the referee would be your electoral commissioner, or the commission, or whatever you call it. That would be the referee. And if the referee is biased, then you can imagine what we are into. And it looks like we might end up with a situation more like the one that happened when Babangida was there, when we had the unannounced victory. So pray for Nigeria. Pray for Nigeria. Just tell God to perfect his will in this country. Tell the Lord to glorify himself and glorify Jesus Christ. Tell him that Nigeria must bow to the perfect will of God. We want you, Father, to to work out your will. That is what we want. Take us in any direction that you want. Just let it be in your perfect will. That is our prayer for Nigeria. And let every believer be part of this prayer. Join us in this prayer, in your house and in your fellowship. Pray that God will just glorify himself and glorify Jesus Christ. God bless you. Now let me finally add this one revelation. On a different note, something that made everybody happy. I remember that the day that the Lord showed this to me, I was in Cape Coast. Dr. Woleye was there with me in Cape Coast spending some holiday. I shared it with him. Now, when I was sharing these revelations at my full gospel chapter, the University Tanker chapter, he raised up his hand and said, "What about the jubilation?" And then I said, "Oh, beautiful," because I ought not to forget that one. The Lord showed to me one night, everybody was out on the streets. Everybody was jubilating, dancing, shouting, rejoicing. All over the place we were there. University students, lecturers, I was there myself jubilating. Everybody seemed to have had some news that made us happy. And then I noticed that some security men arrested about 5 university students. And I went to those security men and I said, "This is not a time to arrest anybody. This is a time to jubilate. So you release them." And they immediately released those students. And everybody went on jubilating. Lord, whatever it be, we receive it in the name of Jesus. There's something that's coming that will make most of us very happy. Shortly after this revelation was the announcement by Abdusalam Abu Bakr, the salaries would go up by some real good percentage, and a lot of people jubilated. It could be a part of that manifestation, but it is not the real thing. The real jubilation that I'm talking about is going to affect everybody. If you ask me to make a guess, I would say maybe it's the time that you hear the announcement that this country will begin to exist as 3 entities. Maybe that is it. Let us wait. That jubilation will soon come to pass in Jesus' name. God bless you again, and the Lord keep you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I want us to stand up, give Jesus a very good clap offering. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Louder, 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 clap offering unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. While we are standing, I want us to lift our voices unto the Lord and begin to pray. Let everybody begin to pray. Pray in the spirit, pray in the understanding, and bless the name of the Lord, magnify the name of the Lord. Our God is God. There is no God besides him. He is God. And there is no God besides him. Just bless the name of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. The Lord has not left us in darkness. He has told us of things to come. And we are the only ones that have this kind of privilege. These are not predictions, these are prophecies. Pray for Nigeria. Pray for peace in this nation. It makes no difference to us whether the head of state is a Christian or a Muslim. Ask the Lord to drive him in the right direction. Father, perfect your will in Nigeria. Perfect your will in Nigeria. Glorify yourself. Glorify your righteous Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we ask you to step up your activities in this nation.
let righteousness run down as water. Let judgment run as water and righteousness as a mighty stream. Let Jesus be glorified. Father, touch your children. Touch your children, the redeemed of the Lord. Seal us in the blood of Jesus. Concerning the spiritual future of Nigeria, the caravan of the House of Fulanese that was moving from the south to the north suggests that there is a time in the future when people are going to move, the same partitioning. People are going to shift more so to Jumi was identified as a spirit of Islam. If she was begging me for oranges, a time will come in the future of Nigeria when Islam will suffer. That is the meaning of the revelation. Islam will suffer. Even now it has started. The children of God will possess their possessions. They will come to us and beg us for help. They will beg us for help. The time is coming and it is near. The spirit of the bondwoman shall not prevail over us. Unto the Lord, that righteousness be perfected in the church, in the body of Christ, that we may live for Jesus Christ, keep ourselves holy, acceptable, live in love. Do the job of soul winning. This is our greatest commission. Let nobody sit on the fence. Let nobody stand out. Time is running out. The time is short. Pray for Africa. Africa is officially classified as the poorest continent in the world by United Nations figures. Africa is the poorest continent in the world. Pray for Africa. Africa has a lot of resources, humans and material. Lord, turn our fortune around. Give us the grace to manage our resources to glorify you. Pray that God will remove tribal wars, ethnic cleansing, pestilence, famine, wickedness in government, wickedness at the lower levels. There is sin among us. These things do not happen unless there is sin. Jesus, come and reign in Africa. Take full control in Africa. Let all idols be vanquished in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now pray for the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for them that God may give them utterance. That God may give them the grace to speak boldly as they ought to. Not holding back on the word of God, but speaking and addressing the issues as they ought to. Not being afraid of anybody's face. Not being dismayed at the faces of the wicked. God said to Jeremiah, even if you stand before scorpions, don't be afraid of them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Father. We glorify you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are standing here today. You are not here by mistake. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. And it's not possible to reach the Father without Him. The Lord wants you today. Will you please raise up your hand where you are standing? I want to see your hand go up. You want to give your life to Jesus. Today is your day. Never, never postpone the day of your salvation. You are not born again. You have not committed your life to Jesus Christ, and you want to do so today. Will you just raise up your hand high up? I want to pray with you before I ask everybody to say, God bless you. God bless you, my brother. Keep your hand up. God bless you. Any others want? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Any others want to join them? Raise up your hand now. I want you to pray. God bless you. God bless you. Raise your hand high up. God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you. Any others? You want to join them? Please raise up your hand. Raise up your hand. I want to pray. God bless you up there. I see you at the gallery. Raise up your hand with confidence. God bless you. Any others? Any others? Before I pray, any others? Some things come too late. See, Jesus said, I must do the works of my Father while it is yet day. Because the night comes when no man can keep. Jesus said some things are too late at certain times. What about you? Raise up your hand now. Let it not be too late. Some things become too late. Any others? Yes, God bless you. I see you at the gallery also. Somebody else there? God bless you. Any others? Any others? We want to pray. We want to pray. This is the best thing that can happen in your life. And God is offering it to you today. It's salvation. Nothing, nothing is greater than salvation. Raise up your hand. Any others now? Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. I want to pray now. I want to pray. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, because we look at the works of your hands, and we have no choice but to conclude again and again that you are God. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you for salvation today. Thank you for those who have raised up their hands to commit their lives to Jesus, to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Father, whosoever comes to you, you will in no wise cast away. Jesus, receive them unto yourself now.
Amen.
And let your Holy Spirit come into them now.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, thank you even as you come in now. We know that you will never depart. We give you praise. Father, accept our thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All of those who are raising up their hands, you will please have your seat. I'm sure that the counselors will get in touch with you somehow, maybe by an announcement. So God bless you. Let us be seated. Let us be seated now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless your name. We glorify your name. Thank you for the grace to be your children. Accept our thanks, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give Jesus a good clap of praise.